Welcome back, everybody. And welcome if you're just joining me. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. And remember, folks, the very last segment of today, I'm going to be talking about our favorite haunted houses, favorite fall events from your childhood, or perhaps if you are a Halloween aficionado from your adulthood going on across the state, because we don't have our beloved Terry Barr with us. So you folks are going to be leading the charge as we close out the show today. You want to get your suggested events for this weekend, your favorite haunted house memories in, text those in at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I use that as a bridge to our next discussion because I'm not a journalist. I say this on the show all the time. I am an opinion entertainer. That is what this program is. I do my best every day to get it right. I invite fact-checking from you all, our wonderful listeners. I will correct myself when I get things wrong. But we rely as a democracy on news journalism. It is the vehicle by which us regular folks who have jobs and kids and people that we're caring for, we're going about our busy lives. We rely on news journalists to help us hold government accountable. Without good journalism, we don't know what the hell government's doing. Now, we know that newspapers have been facing absolutely dire economic circumstances. We have less locally based news outlets than ever in modern history. This is all making it harder for regular people to hold every level of government accountable. But when you think about the department with one of the largest line items of budget, when we're talking about our federal budget, it's the Defense Department, our military, the Pentagon. And so we've got a great guest with us this afternoon. He is Professor Mike Wagner from UW-Madison. He's a professor of mass journalism, the William T. Evju Distinguished Chair for the Wisconsin Idea, and the director of the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal, to help us understand what has been going on at the Pentagon, because admittedly, I'm a wee bit confused. So welcome, Mike. I really appreciate you making time on a Friday afternoon. Let's level set for our listeners. I think most people, if you're paying attention to the political news, know that back in early-ish September, there seemed to be an initial press policy announcement from the DOD. Then they rolled out something in writing and gave a deadline to all news outlets that had Pentagon access. Tell us what these policies said and what exactly is going on here.
Yeah, great to be with you. You know, for years, decades, centuries, reporters have covered the Pentagon, the White House, you know, our federal government. And of course, there are some restrictions, right? You need to get a press pass. You have to, you know, get credentials. And these are things where you demonstrate you're a part of a legitimate news organization. And there are some rules you have to abide by. And in a place like the Pentagon, there are always some places you can't go for security reasons. But in general, reporters had a lot of freedom to move around and talk to folks and do their reporting in and outside of the building to help cover all things Defense Department related so that the citizens can, judge for themselves how well their country's being governed. In September, right around the time the president himself said he didn't think the Pentagon should be in the business of telling people how to cover the news, right around that same time, a policy change was announced on, I think, September 20th. And then it was later revised, but the first policy that was announced literally forbade journalists from publishing things that had not been approved by government officials and gave journalists like a 10-day window to sign and agree to those restrictions. They backed off of that and then in early October put forth a second policy change announcement and, can still deem journalists security risks if they publish things that the Pentagon does not like. And the current policy change announced by the Pentagon does a lot more of the restriction on the side of the Pentagon and people who work for the U.S. government and not on reporters, preventing them from sharing different information, with reporters. And there already are a lot of laws on the books about that. And of course, journalists' job is to go out and try to get people to talk to them anyway and provide evidence to them anyway. But this was, kind of an aggressive and, according to First Amendment experts, unprecedented policy change in the kind of ongoing push-pull between the government, whoever's in charge, and the news media that try to cover it.
I just want to zoom out for a moment, because I think for folks that may not be as versed as you are in how journalism works. So in the past, and for decades, if not 100 plus years, again, there were process requirements to be vetted, confirm that you are a legitimate news reporter, to have a pass. There are always places you can't go. There's confidential information. But for journalists, what is the standard? Like, if an employee of the U.S. government at any level comes to you and brings you intelligence, and I don't necessarily mean, central intelligence agency sort of intelligence, but brings you a story and says, hey, I want to tell you about this. What is the typical process, and how is this different from that? Like, what was changing from the way in which, and I'm just going to set this level, that journalists that subscribe to the highest standards of news reporting and journalism, how do they approach that, setting aside these bizarre new restrictions from the DOD?
Yeah, so when journalists get access or the promise of access or potential access to explosive information, classified information, and the like, they usually engage in a pretty rigorous process of working with their editors to figure out, okay, what can we report? If we're going to report this, like, if so, once the reporting persuades the journalist that they have it accurate, like, we think this is true, and we have lots of good reasons to believe this is true, then there is the ethical consideration of what are the consequences of telling this story. Like, this is why journalists almost never would report things like troop movements before a surprise attack. Right. American troops are, are going to engage in a sneak attack, in a country X tomorrow. Like, journalists don't report those kinds of things, even if they learn it, even if they're sure that they're right. Right. And so there are some things that journalists just would not report.
Yep.
And the other information, of course, they still, even if they decide this is, within the public interest, we're confident that we're right, they still give the government, the opportunity to comment, to make their own case, and the like. And so there's a push-pull behind the scenes for lots of foreign policy and, frankly, domestic policy reporting, that occurs. Here, one of the big differences is the journalists are being threatened with losing their press credentials if they write stories the Pentagon doesn't like. Journalists could be deemed security risks if they write stories the Pentagon doesn't like. And all of this is happening in a context where over the past couple of decades, the courts have been less muscular in their support for an expansive understanding of press freedom. The courts have generally been on the side of free press reporting, but they do less writing about it and full-throated endorsement of it than they did 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years ago.
So with that as the context, what ended up happening when the deadline was finally reached, which happened, I believe 2 weeks ago, Thursday, Friday.
Now, around the 14th, I think, was somewhere, yes. Somewhere in there, I think, was the deadline. And most folks, most organizations, I should say, did not sign. And not just legacy outlets like the New York Times or middle of the road, but journalism first organizations like NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox
the
News.
AP,
but like,
yep.
Like, lots of far right wing, organizations also did not sign this request demand from the Pentagon, and so most news organizations, even those that have a heavy opinion component, see this as an affront to the ability to conduct, a relentless pursuit of the verifiable truth in a democratic country.
The relentless pursuit of the verifiable truth. It is how democracy is served. Again, folks, if you're just joining us, I've got Professor Mike Wagner from UW-Madison. He is a professor of mass journalism. He runs their Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. We're talking about the DOD press policy change. Just to summarize, these are just, this isn't a complete exhaustive list. These are the press, the media outlets, the news reporters that have had their credentials yanked. They no longer have access at the Pentagon. The Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times, the Associated Press, Reuters, CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, the Washington Times, the Washington Post, the Washington Examiner, the Atlantic, the Hill, Politico, and the Guardian, as well as, here's one of those right-wing outlets, Newsmax. When Newsmax will not sign the policy, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call the proverbial warning flag. With that as context, who has agreed to do this? And I understand from my research that I was doing, One America News previously had a pass. They agreed to sign it, but we now have a spate of new outlets that are, quote, covering the Pentagon, the list of which, I don't know, causes me grave concern, I will put it, Professor. Who do we have that's now supposedly providing America's best upfront news about what's happening in the Department of Defense?
A lot of organizations that are most famous in public and academic circles for spreading rumors, like Gateway Pundit, I think, is one.
Yes.
The Lindell News Network.
Yes, Lindell TV.
Which, is Mike Lindell, who is most famously known as the MyPillow guy, his network. And so these are not what we would think of as news organizations that have a track record of accurately reporting the verifiable truth, especially with respect to correcting mistakes. For whatever you think of an MSNBC or a Fox News or a Newsmax or the Huffington Post, when news organizations make errors, they say so. Yeah. Usually not as prominently as they made the error, but places like Gateway Pundit, Lindell TV, they don't do that. Also come at news coverage with an extraordinarily ideological point of view, which in this case pleases the ideological position of the Pentagon.
And this morning on X, it was announced that disgraced Alex Jones's InfoWars now has a Pentagon press pass.
Oh, I hadn't seen that. This is a group that so defamed the families in the Sandy Hook mass shooting that, they essentially destroyed Alex Jones's, financial life because of the false things that he repeatedly said about those folks. And so this is an information and entertainment organization that is most well known for saying things that are not true.
For lying.
Covering the Department of Defense.
Yeah.
With a legitimate press pass.
We're going to talk with Professor Wagner on the other side about what this means more broadly for government accountability and really the crisis that we all face in terms of holding government accountable when we do not have a shared understanding of facts or the standards to which reporters are held. Don't go anywhere, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.